This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Welcome to Freedom Works. We got a little Elton John going for you this morning. I am Paul Molloy, the Freedom Works Paul Molloy Show, Tampa Bay's libertarian radio voice. It's Wednesday, January 14th. We thank you for joining us. We have a lot to talk about today. We're going to be discussing in a couple of minutes with Mark Thornton of the Ludwig von Mises Institute the nearly one-year anniversary of legal pot smoking in Colorado. How is that working out? Is the air around Mile High City filled with something other than smog? Since then, we will discuss it. And is the end near for the traditional family in America? Well, some are thinking so. Excuse me. And we're going to discuss that as well. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10 list, we spare no effort in good research. You are going to find out about the top 10 shortest celebrities. We have found them. We also have measured them. So stay tuned for that. Freedom Works. We come to you Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the Tantalk Radio Network. We are so glad you join us. We are here to talk libertarian, promote libertarian ideas. We're not a member of the Libertarian Party per se, but we believe in the credo that individual freedom reaps the greatest rewards for all. And so we do the program in that vein. If you'd like to call us, you may do so, 866-826-1340. Again, 866-826-1340. If you want to visit our website, find out more about us, listen to past shows, go to thefreedomworks.com, thefreedomworks.com. Go to the podcast button and you can take a look in chronological order the programs that we have done. It will include our guests and the top 10 list. And anyway, speaking of guests, Mark Thornton, who is a regular contributor to the show and is a senior fellow at the Ludwig von Mises Institute, we'll be talking with us in a few minutes. I'm very interested. He keeps his eye on the situation with the legalization of marijuana, which has become such a big topic. And in Colorado, it's been going on there for almost a year. So looking forward to that. In the meantime, there is so much going on around the country and around the world. One of the things is that there is heightened security at airports. A terrorist group is calling for new attacks on U.S. airlines and has put some sort of recipe for detection-proof bombs online. So it's starting to have a lot of airport authorities worried, not only here in the United States, but around the world. The Department of Homeland Security, the Secretary, Jay Johnson, met with airline security officials to brief them about this elevated threat. And he says, we don't have any specific credible intelligence of an attack like what just occurred in Paris. But the reasons for these measures should be self-evident. because of the ongoing trouble in Paris, Ottawa, Canada, and Sydney, Australia, and elsewhere, along with recent calls by these terrorist groups to foster attacks on Western objectives. And of course, we have two things bumping up against each other with terrorism. We have the issue of keeping ourselves safe and the issue of privacy. A lot of people complain about what's going on when they go through airport security. Not only the delay, but, you know, the whole concept of treating you like you're a criminal. And yet we haven't really had any major issues, knock on wood, with airlines since we put those things into effect. And it's always an ongoing topic. Being a libertarian, believing in individual liberty and individual privacy whenever possible. But remember the old motto that my rights do end where your nose begins. And when you're trying to protect my nose by doing certain things as a group, that is where the discussion starts. And so these things that they are doing now with the random searches now in airports, it's going to trouble a lot of people, but for the most part, if they feel a little bit more secure when they get on the airplane, it's very hard to argue against it. We also want to talk a little bit about this. This is, to me, a little bit troubling, and it's out of a newspaper over in London. They're talking about the end of the traditional family in America. Less than half of the children growing up in a home these days has both a mother and a father in the United States. And that's kind of sad. In 1960, 73% of kids lived with two married straight parents, 73%. But the amount of children now born outside of marriage is 41%. That's a huge number. They would have fallen over in 1960 at a number like that. Less than half of the kids under age of 18 live at home with two married straight parents in their first marriage, according to this research. So this is the ever-changing family structure. We mentioned that in 1960, 73% of kids had a mother and a father at home, but by 1980, that figure had dropped to 61%. And 1980 was, what, 24 years ago now. So this is the Pew Research Center that compiled this info. Americans are also getting married later in life, or not at all. And the share of children born outside of marriage, listen to this, in 1960, do you know what the percentage of children were that were born outside of marriage? 5%. 5%. Today, 41%. Things have really changed. I'm not so sure they have changed for the good. Anyway, let's take our break. When we come back, Mark Thornton is going to join us. We're going to talk about pot. Don't go away.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Frozen. In that instant when the puck appears in the back of the net. In that moment when jaws open in astonishment. In that second, everything stands still. But the next second, you are the energy that shatters the stillness. The Tampa Bay Lightning. Be the thunder.
Lightning single game tickets are on sale now. Visit TampaBayLightning.com or call 800-745-3000.
Tom O'Brien is on the Tantalk Radio Network. Every Monday through Friday from 4 till 5 p.m., Tom takes to the airwaves as he breaks down the day's market action. Tom combines his technical knowledge of the markets with his years of trading experience to take your calls and questions every market day from 4 to 5 p.m. Whether you're new to trading or an active day trader, don't miss out on the Tom O'Brien Show live on the Tantalk Radio Network from 4 to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Show me the money.
It's the Employment Opportunity Hour with Gene Hodge every Thursday night from 7 until 8.
So the purpose of the show is to help you out there to find something that you enjoy doing instead of a job. And at the start of the show, I normally give out a formula, which I know will guarantee you to find the type of job that you want right now.
Find out the formula to an enjoyable job with Gene Hodge's Employment Opportunity Hour every Thursday night from 7 until 8 here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Show me the money.
The excitement happens every day at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. You can find yourself in the water with a dolphin, feeding a stingray, watching our world-famous dolphin shows, sailing on our eco boat tour, and even having your picture taken with a dolphin. The Clearwater Marine Aquarium is home of the world's most famous dolphin, Winter, the star of the movie Dolphin Tale, filmed at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium. Winter lost her tail but is now healthy and swimming freely due to a prosthetic tail. Be exposed to marine life and more. Take a behind-the-scenes tour to see how the animal hospital works. View the animal's food prep kitchen, the vet's lab, the surgical suite, and rehab areas. The aquarium houses river otters, sea turtles, stingrays, sharks, and a host of brilliant fish. Come to the Clearwater Marine Aquarium, 249 Windward Passage in Clearwater, or check them on the web at seawinter.com for more information. Open Sunday through Thursday, 10 to 5. Friday and Saturday, 10 to 6. Call 727-441-1790. Make plans to enjoy the day at the Clearwater Marine Aquarium, 249 Windward Passage in Clearwater, the official home of Winter, the star of the movie Dolphin Tale, a last memory.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
We're back on Freedom Works, and we are delighted to have our friend Mark Thornton, a senior fellow at the great Ludwig von Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama, joining us. And Mark talks a lot on, and writes a lot about the legalization of marijuana. And here we are, coming up on the one-year anniversary of the legalized marijuana in the state of Colorado. Mark has done an article, "The Sky Is Not Falling, Recreational Pot Turns One in Colorado." So, Mark, welcome to Freedom Works again. And how is the one-year anniversary of pot in Colorado doing?
Well, Paul, thank you for having me back on the program. It's great to be with you today. And it's also kind of a change of pace because I usually have bad news about the economy, but in this case, I'm bringing some good news, some happy news to your program and to your audience. And basically, the legalization of marijuana in Colorado and other states has been a success. The sky has not fallen. All of the dreaded problems that people imagined about legalizing pot never really materialized. And so it's been a big victory, I think, for freedom, really, because it's shown that free markets and legalizing products for adult consumption is a positive. And across the board, what we've seen is positive results. I think the first and foremost is that thousands of Coloradans were not arrested last year for simple marijuana possession or selling retail marijuana. And, you know, that means a lot of different things. It means that people don't get a criminal record. It means people don't lose access to student loans. It means people don't lose access to good jobs. And so that's a great starting point, is the fact that so many lives were not ruined last year as a result of marijuana being prohibited.
Well, you would... And I know that you you mentioned a report, I think it was in a supplement to the Denver Post, recently published, that says the general conclusion is that the legalization has been a big success. And then you go on to say, or in the report, it says that one of the biggest remaining problems is something you would never think of, but the Federal Reserve. Now, how would the Federal Reserve be a problem in this case?
Well, that's a great point. You know, and the thing about the report in from the Denver Post was that they've been dealing with these issues for so long on a day-to-day basis that they didn't even cover a lot of the supposed problems, because it's so obvious to the people of Colorado that those were not problems. And so they focused on, in more than one article, really, on the problem caused by the Federal Reserve, which is basically that without the consent of the Federal Reserve, it's very difficult and threatening for banks to do business with the marijuana dispensary companies, the retail outlets for legal marijuana. And so those dispensaries or retail outlets don't have banking privileges. They can't take credit cards in many cases. They don't have anywhere to deposit their money and to write checks to their employees, to pay their taxes to the state and the cities. And so all sorts of normal functions of regular businesses, they're creating headaches for these businesses and their owners and their employees and their suppliers, simply because they don't have the normal access to banking. And the Federal Reserve is holding this up and saying, well, it's still a federal crime, and therefore anybody engaging in that business is still considered in violation of federal law, and therefore the Federal Reserve is not going to grant banking privileges. And the primary holdup is, you know, that little number on the bottom of your checks on the left-hand side, that's the routing number, and so checks that you write, that I write, members of your audience write, those get routed through the Federal Reserve System back to their respective banks. And without that routing number, even if banks were to allow these retail companies banking privileges, their checks simply wouldn't work. And so that's the big holdup. That's the big problem. And it leaves a lot of cash in the system. And therefore, these companies are worried about being robbed and their employees being robbed because they're being paid in cash.
Yeah, they have to deal in cash. We're talking with Mark Thornton of the Ludwig von Mises Institute. We're talking about an article he wrote saying that the sky is not falling in Colorado as we come upon the one-year anniversary of recreational marijuana use. Now, there's always that law, Mark, of unintended consequences. If you run an outlet in Colorado, legally there, selling marijuana, and it comes time to pay your income taxes, your federal income taxes, how can you, I mean, as soon as you put down that you are affiliated with legal marijuana in the state of Colorado, don't you run into some federal crime issues? I mean, I wonder how these people are actually conducting their lives. They have to pay taxes, and yet they would have to declare themselves. They'd have to go underground, wouldn't they, with their income taxes?
Yeah, that's the kind of problem that the government is leaving in place. And of course, the owners of these retail outlets, they come up with ways to try to get around that. They'll, for example, have a regular retail name that indicates that they sell marijuana, but they'll have a business name that indicates something quite different. So, you know, the Paul something or another consulting company or whatever it happens to be. So they try to hide the notion of their what their real business is with subterfuge. But it's still very difficult, and they're, you know, we're expecting a lot of these people to be subject to IRS audits because the paperwork, the paper trail that exists for you and I and for most people in the economy, it doesn't really exist for this group of people. And so they're, you know, from what I can tell, they're very willing to pay their taxes. They're very willing to pay their taxes and fees to the city and state in Colorado. They're mostly all law-abiding citizens. They want to do the right thing. They want to be legitimate is something that they emphasize over and over again. These people want to be legitimate. They want to be good, business people. They want to be good entrepreneurs. They're really people who want to help people, because a lot of these people have been in the medical marijuana business for quite some time, and they've expanded from medical marijuana into recreational marijuana. And so, but the idea is that they not only want to make money for themselves, but they also want to help people. And they're doing that. I mean, medical marijuana is helping people in nearly half of the states in the United States. And and we're finding new uses, new legitimate uses for medical purposes for marijuana. It seems like every day I become aware of new medical applications for this product.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, there's always the argument, and I would always use it, that if you can allow alcohol or tobacco, you cannot disallow marijuana. It's that simple. I don't think you even have to go any further. There are laws that apply to children, as there always should be with a product like this. Same for tobacco and alcohol. But other than that, I find it very hard for anyone to be able to continue to outlaw marijuana. Now, of course, you have to use it responsibly. What happens, by the way, Mark, say in Colorado, you're driving along, and let's say you're speeding and a policeman stops you and the policeman notices that you're either smoking marijuana or the smell of marijuana on you. Could that still be an offense as far as being behind the wheel in Colorado?
Yes, that would be equivalent to driving while intoxicated. If they smell marijuana on you, they're definitely going to test you. That's another problem that still exists because unlike alcohol, which rather quickly leaves your system in a matter of hours, marijuana can be detected by blood tests for up to 2 weeks. And so they're trying to come up with ways to indicate not that you just have marijuana in your system, but that you're actually intoxicated. And so they're using the older techniques of walking the line and, you know, that sort of thing to determine whether somebody is actually very high and shouldn't be driving. And so, you know, these are things that would have been worked out a long time ago in the legal system had marijuana been or had remained legal. But right now they're having to deal with this on the fly, so to speak. Creating more headaches in the system. But these are the type of headaches that you can anticipate when you keep something illegal for so long and then you legalize it. There's all sorts of bugs have to be worked out in the system, whether it's the medical system or the legal system, law enforcement. But generally speaking, you know, this is a win-win. I have a friend out in Colorado who said that the interaction between citizens and the police now is so much better than it used to be, and that basically the people out there now feel that law enforcement is more on their side and less like they're just out to get people and to score points with their bosses by arresting as many people as possible. So I want to make it clear that the big picture is that things are much better in Colorado, and that these bugs are working themselves out. For example, when people go in to buy candies and cookies and that sort of thing that contain marijuana, that's also been a problem because people have become over-intoxicated with these products because they don't understand how they work. And when you eat a cookie or a brownie, you don't get high immediately, and therefore people have, you know, will consume more than they're supposed to, and then an hour later, they're completely stoned out of their mind.
I can't help but think of the movie I Love You, Alice B. Toklas. You remember that scene?
Oh, yeah.
Where they're all sitting around not realizing they're eating these delicious brownies filled with marijuana.
Yeah, and there's also been problems with so-called potluck parties.
Uh-huh.
Where people bring items to a party, and nobody really knows how much pot everybody's put in these products.
Yes.
And so, you know, these are things that are going to work themselves out,
right?
And indeed have already worked themselves out. They've already redone the packaging and the warning labels on these edible products, and so a lot of the problems that have been reported have, in a sense, already been solved.
We're talking with Mark Thornton, and as you can see, he's very much pro-legalization of marijuana. Now, Mark, besides Colorado, what other states have legalized marijuana?
Well, you've got the state of Washington that did it at the same time as Colorado, and then you've got the state of Alaska that recently legalized it. Washington, D.C. legalized it. And some communities in Michigan and Maine have also legalized it locally. And then, of course, there's, I think, 24 states now where medical marijuana is legal. It's been decriminalized in states like California and other places, so that we can now state that the majority of Americans cannot be arrested for simple marijuana consumption. But we've got a long ways to go with this project of rolling back the war on drugs. It's going very well in terms of medical marijuana, extremely well. And the legalization movement is moving forward, despite, Congress trying to stop legal marijuana in Washington, D.C., despite the fact that Nebraska is suing Colorado because it's legalized pot. And, so they're throwing roadblocks in the way of this movement, but this movement is here to stay. 58% of Americans support legal recreational marijuana use.
How many is that again?
58%. And the only age groups that oppose legal marijuana, more than 50%, are those 55 and older. And then there's only really more than a majority in 65 or older. So this is something that demographically is going to grind through the political process. And ultimately, it's going to be a victory for liberty here in the United States. And it's really something, Paul, that's happening around the world as well. It's de facto legal to consume marijuana in many countries. The police have dropped this issue. The legislatures are dropping this issue. And it's something that's going to change the world for the better.
Mark, I'm going to ask if you'll take a call from Big Ed, our board operator here, guy that works with me doing the show, because he's very interested in what you're saying. Ed, come on board here and ask.
I was just going to say, Mark, they're jealous because that age group smoked their share in the 60s, so they're good with it now. But I was wondering, what is the relationship with the employer-employee? Do the employers still reserve the right to say, even though it is legal, we still reserve the right to drug test you and consider this an illegal drug?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think that's very clear that private prohibitions can remain in effect. So just because it's legal in Colorado doesn't mean you can walk into a church or walk into a school or walk into a hospital or walk into a restaurant and smoke marijuana. Those are private prohibitions that exist. And with the employers, they still have the right to prohibit their employees from consuming, and they can drug test them and they can fire them based on marijuana use. So if you're, in the business of distributing beer with heavy trucks, or if you're in the construction business with dangerous machinery, anything like that, there's going to continue to exist, if the employer wants it, a prohibition on employees consuming marijuana on the job or even consuming it off of the job. So private prohibitions are now highlighted because the public prohibition has been removed. And so there's all sorts of things in the free society that go into control and to regulate marijuana use or any other thing, tobacco use, alcohol use, where things are necessary to be extra safe, extra careful. The market will come up with some way, whether it's through lawsuits or insurance companies or just competition, will reign and control these things. And so we actually can expect better control over something like marijuana as a result.
Mark, as always, when we talk, you give us so much good information to chew on, and once again, you have done it. This is such an interesting issue, and Colorado, and we always talk about the fact that states should be the laboratories for different things, and I think in this case, we're going about it in the right way, because we can all step back and watch Colorado or possibly Washington or or wherever else that is trying it and see what the effects are, you know. And so in a way, I think it's probably a good thing that Colorado is doing this, and that the kinks are kind of being taken out of it. And so as we come upon the one-year anniversary, it's really an ongoing process, but it's very interesting to watch. Mark Thornton, thank you so very much for joining us, as always, at the great Ludwig von Mises Institute in Auburn, Alabama. I know we'll be talking soon again down the road, Mark.
Paul, I love your show, and I encourage your audience to visit us at mises.org.
M-I-S-E-S, as in Mises.org. Terrific, Mark. Well, again, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you.
All righty. Mark Thornton. Always interesting with that guy. Now, he talks a lot, you know. He's very passionate, especially about this issue. So it's always enjoyable to hear what he has to say. Going to take our break. Don't forget, you're going to find out who the current top 10 shortest celebrities are. Wow.
This is sort of an unusual question, but do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Tantalk Radio Network.
Windsong Charter and Boat Rentals, Newport Richey. Sailing, pontoon boats, jet ski tours, overnight charters, inshore fishing with Captain Dave and more. Windsong Charters and Boat Rentals, now celebrating 13 years on the shores of the beautiful Gulf of Mexico. Easy access just off of US 19, plenty of free parking. Small groups to corporate events. Call Windsong Charters and Boat Rentals for all your water sports fun at 727-859-0213 or on the web at windsongcharters.com. And remember, what happens on the boat stays on the boat.
Hi, I'm Katrina Madewell, host of Tampa Home Talk. I'm going to give you market-appropriate, timely information regarding homeownership matters because we want to make your everyday life better. Wherever you are in life, it's our mission to bring you good advice so you can maintain good credit, live within your means, and build wealth. My team and I are passionate about it. Love where you live, or I'll fix it. Tampa Home Talk on WTAN every Thursday and Saturday at 5 p.m.
You could have lunch with the king.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
You could have lunch with the queen. Or you could have lunch with the chamber. Every Monday at noon, join your host Alex Petro for an insider's look at local business, the latest news, who's who in local business, plus special guests who offer a unique perspective on what matters most, local business. Lunch with the chamber, Mondays from noon until 1, here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Money, money, money. How much time do you spend worrying about money? What if you could get the things you need without money? You can. It's called barter, and it's the oldest and most enduring form of exchange on the planet. Dave Wagenvoord's book, No Cash, No Problem, How to Get What You Want in Business and in Life Without Using Cash, is the new Bible of barter. In this book, you'll discover a new mindset that can change your life forever. Learn a secret that is said to be known by only 500 people around the world. Gain a new skill set that can make you rich. See how multi-million dollar deals are done behind the scenes, all without using any cash. Complete your first cashless transaction before you even finish the book. Marketing guru Jay Abraham christened Dave Wagenvoord the king of barter. Order Dave's book, No Cash, No Problem, by phone. Credit cards accepted. Call 727-441-3311. 727-441-3311. 727-441-3311.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works. Thank you very much for joining us this Wednesday, January the, my goodness, we're almost halfway through the month, January 14th. Well, a firefighter made the mistake of writing an anti-gay book, and he's paid for that with his job. His name is Kevin Cochran, decorated firefighter, devout Christian. He's a deacon at a Baptist church. He also teaches Sunday school, so you can imagine what his feelings would be about gay marriage. By all accounts, a decent, honorable guy, now unemployed. This is in Atlanta. He served 7 years as the chief of the Atlanta Fire Department. Then he writes a book about biblical morality entitled, Who Told You That You Were Naked? And a small portion of the book contains some descriptions of what critics say is homophobic language. Now, the mayor of Atlanta, Kasim Reed, suspended Cochran from his job as fire chief last month. And then on January 6th, he was fired. That was the day he was supposed to come back to work. Here's what the mayor said in firing him. Quote, "I profoundly disagree with and am deeply disturbed by the sentiments expressed in the paperback regarding the LGBT community." That's, I guess, lesbian, gay, transgender, bisexual community. Now, the mayor wrote this last November on his official Facebook page. And then he went on to say, "I will not tolerate discrimination of any kind within my administration." He tells reporters that Kevin Cochran, the fire chief, was not fired because of his religious beliefs, but was ousted because of poor judgment. I guess the poor judgment is writing a book and saying things like that. Now, the mayor also says that Cochran distributed his book to employees of the fire department. He admits, Cochran does, that he gave copies of the book to some close associates within the department. Although the guy that complained about the books being distributed did not get a copy. Maybe he was upset he didn't get a copy of the book. But interesting, the New York Times honed in on it. Their editorial board said it doesn't matter if Chief Cochran was innocent. They say that's not the point. They say it should not matter that the investigation found no evidence that Cochran had mistreated gay or lesbians. His position as a high-level public servant makes his remarks in the book especially problematic and require that he be held to a different standard. Well, this goes to the overall issue of what you can say these days, and if you offend a certain group at a certain level, you are in jeopardy of being publicly reprimanded, I guess, and then in this case, you lose your job. So I guess what we can learn from this is, yes, there is free speech. There are also consequences to free speech. And I guess it's the same old thing. It depends on whose ox is being gored as far as how consequences to free speech are administered. I find this to be a very interesting story, however. If you write a book and you express your opinions, I guess, again, it depends upon the group that you are expressing your opinions about, because lots of people that have other jobs write books. They express their opinions in those books. Most cases, they don't get fired. In this case, apparently the mayor somehow connects the fulfillment of this guy's fire job to his thoughts on marriage and whether gay marriage and heterosexual marriage belong on the same level. Anyway, very interesting article. Let's do this. We're going to take our final break. We're getting very closer to the top 10 shortest celebrities. I cannot wait to find out who they are and find out how tall they are also.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, I'm looking for somebody that can transform my home. Can you do that?
I can do that with my Mural Creations. This is Jordy the Artist. How are you?
I'm fabulous.
You know, you called 407-310-8589 and you reached me. You might know I have a show here on Tantalk 1340, Wednesday nights at 10 p.m. as a matter of fact.
Fabulous.
You know my number?
No, I don't.
407-310-8589. Hope you wrote it down.
407-310-8589. Got it.
My name is Joni Siegel, and I'm the producer of the L. Ron Hubbard East Coast Golden Age Theater, WTAN Radio's presentation of Tales from the Golden Age. Tales in every popular genre. Let us return you to a time when fiction was good, clean entertainment, and the most fun a kid could have on a rainy afternoon, or the best thing an adult could enjoy after a long day at work.
East Coast Golden Age Theater, Monday evening at 6 on the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's that time again, the Taste of Safety Harbor, Monday, January 19th from 5:30 to 8:30 at the beautiful Safety Harbor Resort and Spa, featuring samples from area restaurants and pubs, live music, and a silent auction. Check out the VIP Sea Dog Brew Experience, Monday, January 19th, 5:30 to 8:30. For tickets, go to thesafetyharborchamber.com, or you can call them at 727-726-2890. That's 727-726-2890.
At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy a lifestyle to fit your needs. From independent living, assisted living, memory care, and skilled nursing. Our exciting independent lifestyle is the perfect combination of freedom, comfort, and security. Enjoy total independence with peace of mind. Our independent lifestyle includes chef-prepared meals in our beautiful waterfront dining room, a continental breakfast, all utilities, including cable and telephone, housekeeping with linen service, scheduled transportation, including trips for shopping, local restaurants, theater, and more. Our activities program is second to none. At the Oaks of Clearwater, you'll enjoy affordable luxury waterfront senior living with a $1 million view. Call today, 727-445-4069, and discover where caring, compassionate service really makes the difference.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on Freedom Works this Wednesday. Thank you very much for joining us. I am Paul Molloy. Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. And, you know, the White House is in some trouble for not sending anybody of any merit to that rally in Paris. Against what the tragedy that occurred in the assassinations of all of those journalists in Paris. Now, the White House points to security concerns as the reason why President Obama and or Vice President Biden did not go over and join the rally with all of those other leaders. But a lot of people are not buying that excuse. Instead, they say that the security explanation is just a reason to alibi their way out of it. And they said that the Secret Service is being made the scapegoat. Here is Brad Blakeman. Brad Blakeman served on the advance team in the Secret Service for George W. Bush's campaign. He said the president can go wherever he wants to go. And I think that's pretty much true because they always provide the kind of security. I mean, look where he shows up. He's going all over the world all the time. But a Secret Service official says that the group was not asked or notified about a possible trip to Paris. And that coincides with reports that the White House aides were caught off guard by the size of the march and the people that were in the march from around the world. And I think that's what happened. They didn't look at this as a major rally. It turned out to be a major rally, so they made a little mistake. Had they to do it over again? I have a hunch Vice President Biden would probably have been sent. The other thing, the other question one would have is why wouldn't Eric Holder, who was already over there at the time, in meetings in Paris, why would he not have joined that group and been out front? So they did drop the ball, apparently, on that rally. Well, Mitt Romney is apparently very serious. He's really had a change of heart, has he not, about running again for president. After revealing to donors just a few days ago that he is considering another bid, he's cranked up his outreach to his allies. And a lot of operatives in the GOP do indeed think he's ready to go again. He's been calling former aides, donors, and supporters from his last campaign, and as well as, New Hampshire is the first real primary, and he is contacting GOP leaders and insiders in New Hampshire. So it looks pretty good. I imagine he's thinking these days, boy, the public is sure upset about the fact that they did not choose me. And therefore, now that they see the mistake that they made, I should run again. Maybe that's what he's thinking. He's got Jeb Bush as a very likely Republican opponent for the presidency. And they talk about the fact that in Florida, there's a lot of money to be had. And Jeb Bush is probably going to be on the receiving end as opposed to Mitt Romney for his campaign. So away we go. We must have about 25 candidates from the Republican Party that they talk about that are considering running for president. How many do they have on the Democratic side? Two? There's Hillary Clinton, and there's that other liberal woman whose name I can't remember. And I bet that's about it. I think Vice President Biden, Joe Biden, would like to be considered a candidate, but he doesn't seem to have the gravitas. You know, if he threw his hat on the ring, his hat into the ring, somebody would step on it. That's about it for him. Anyway, speaking about sort of no respect, how about this Ohio bartender with John Boehner, the Speaker of the House? Here's an Ohio bartender at the golf course at the country club where Boehner is a member who tried to poison Boehner. Of course, he was off his nut to begin with, but he was a bartender at the country club. And last fall, he tried to put something in Boehner's drink while he was there. Apparently, all of this is coming to light now because there is a grand jury indictment on this. The guy's name is Michael Hoyt. He apparently didn't get away with getting that far. He said he didn't get time to put something in Boehner's drink, but he was starting to act very weird. I think he lost his job. Then he blamed Boehner for losing his job, but he was telling people he was Jesus Christ and that Boehner was responsible for Ebola. So I think as soon as that occurred, I think the country club gave him his walking papers. So, but it's making the news these days, and I guess Boehner better watch what he drinks when he goes back to that country club. Anyway, it is time, finally, for our top 10 list. I think this is a great one. This comes from Socialite Life, which is, I found online. I was looking to find the top 10 shortest Hollywood celebrities. This is top 10 shortest celebrities. Now, these are just recent celebrities. So, you know, we're not talking about all-time shorties. You know, we're talking about new-time shorties.
Vertically challenged.
Vertically challenged new-time shorties. By the way, Danny DeVito did not make the list, and they mentioned...
That's incredible.
...that he probably should have, but they couldn't find his height. They couldn't find his height listed anywhere, so we're going to put an asterisk down and say that Danny Vito is a member of this club somewhere along the line, all right? So here we go. Again, these are the most recent... I don't know a lot of these names. And Ed, we'll find out if you do.
Okay.
Currently, the top 10 shortest celebrities. Number 10, Seth Green.
Mm-mm.
Seth Green is an actor. He's 5'4", Family Guy star. He is about 6 inches shorter than the average American. But here's the good thing. He's just as tall as the average American woman.
Okay, well, he's got to be taller than Danny DeVito. I'm sorry.
Yeah, he is. Okay. I think Danny DeVito hovers around 5'1", but I
would
know.
Say less than that.
Yeah, you think 5?
I'm going to say 4'8".
Well, if it's 4'8", he would win this.
Mm.
Do you think he's that short?
I think so.
Do you think he could have been one of the Munchkins on The Wizard of Oz?
Not that small.
Okay. Now that I know,
he's seen a lot of belly buttons, though.
All right, here we go. Number 9. And this surprised me. Martin Scorsese.
Mm.
Did you know he's only 5'3" tall, the director?
He always sits behind the camera. That's funny.
And he got shorter sitting behind the camera. He's one of the biggest talents in Hollywood, but he's also one of the smallest. Number 8. Salma Hayek. You know her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he knows her. She's 5'2". She's very little, but some of her assets are not, from what I understand.
All yeah, right. Horizontally. Mm-hmm.
There you go. Number 7. Shakira. Did you know Shakira is only 5'2"?
That's pretty short for a woman.
Remember when she did the song and video with Beyonce?
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce's 5'7".
Mm-hmm.
She stood on a box.
Ah.
There you go.
Makes sense.
Uh-huh. Number 6. Hilary Duff. Hilary Duff, she's the former Lizzie McGuire star. She's 5'2". I have no idea who she is.
I used to call her Hillary Dillery Duff.
Oh, you know who she was?
Yeah.
Did you know she was so short?
Yeah.
Okay.
She looks short.
Fair enough. Number 5. Coming in at about the same height, but a little bit shorter, is Eva Longoria, 5'2". There was hope her kids would grow up to be a little bit taller than her when she was married to that NBA star, Tony Parker.
Mm-hmm. There's a mismatch.
Oh, well, on to the next one, right? That's what they say here. Number 4. Mary-Kate Olsen, 5'1". She may be 3 inches shorter than the average woman, but she is not sweating anything. She and her twin, Ashley, and her twin, by the way, is 3 inches taller.
Really?
Ashley is 5'4".
I was going to say, why isn't her sister in there, too?
There you go. But Ashley's taller by 3 inches, so that's why she's not in here. Number 3. I don't know who this is. Hayden Panettiere?
Uh-uh.
She's 5'. She's a hero star. That's about all I can tell you. She played Cheryl Yost on Remember the Titans. I this is really going where I
a lot of women.
Yeah. Oh, they're mostly all women. Yeah. It's not surprising. All right.
Nicole Kidman would have voted Tom Cruise into this list. No matter what.
I think so. And Tom might have made, you know, Tom's what, about 5?
He's probably 5'8", 5'7".
No, he's
5'7".
No, he's not. No, 5'7". He's not.
Really?
Maybe not 5'8". I'd say 5'6.5". Anyway, number 2. Now, we're really getting short here. Lil' Kim, 4'11". Lil' Kim. So they were not kidding about the Lil. She's a rapper. I wonder if she wears real high, those stiletto things that make her about 6'2". Anyway, she's pretty short. She wears super long eyelashes, which I understand are as long as her height, but I'm not absolutely positive. And finally, the number 1 shortest current celebrity is...
And I got an update on Danny DeVito.
Well, first of all, number 1 is Snooki. Snooki, her real name is Nicole Polizzi, is 4'9". Wow, that is short. That's my God, she comes up to my elbow.
And Wikipedia says that Danny DeVito is 5 foot even.
Whoa! You know where he would end up on here?
Where?
Number 3.
Let's revise that and do that.
We'll have to revise. Thank you for telling us that. All right. Freedom Works. Thanks for joining us. Talk to you Friday.